We'll desire your prayers this morning. I'm Butch Cole from here in the Neosho congregation. And I first want to say, I am thankful that we can enjoy our salvation. I really appreciate your testimony, Sister Gertrude, how the Lord has given you that rest and that peace. That is wonderful, because God's plan for us all is to enjoy salvation. And I have a burden to share this morning that I'll first say it this way. You could say some of this is a doctrine. Well, it all is a doctrine. But my intention and my prayer this morning is that this will enlighten and inspire us all. Because I believe so many times we shortchange ourselves and we live below our privileges, that God has so much more for us. But I want to start with this. So just thinking of our culture here in America, I'm thankful to live here in America. There's many freedoms and things that God has blessed us with. But you know, there's also something that America is also known for. They're known to be hard workers. And what I mean by that is basically it's a mindset that if I can work long and hard enough at anything, you can be successful. The American dream. You know, a lot of that is true, and I don't want to take anything away from that. And honestly, I think it's good that we all learn good work ethics, okay? But there's something about this that there's also, I believe the devil can sow in a snare amongst that. And let me explain this. Sometimes we can find ourselves applying in areas of our lives that if we feel like we can just push and drive ourselves hard enough and labor and toil long enough that I can finally earn someone's love and their approval and their respect and their acceptance. And again, there's nothing wrong with, again, living peaceably with everyone. But the scripture teaches us that we ought to rather please God than man, okay? And so the devil would love to get us in a trap where we're striving and everything we're doing is just to make us feel like, oh, so-and-so accepts us and so-and-so, we've gained their respect and they like me now and all these things where, Lord help us, that's not really enjoying your salvation, is it? Because our focus should be, Lord, I want to please you first, okay? That's where it starts. Well, I want to share just a little story, and this is a personal experience I had on the job years ago, early on in my career. I was in my early 20s, and this is just to kind of paint a picture here of where, again, there's nothing wrong with working hard and earning a paycheck, and especially your young family, a young father, I encourage you, keep that up. That is your job and your responsibility. But what happens is sometimes a person can get to a place where all they're striving for is self-promotion. Like, how can I look better for everyone else? Okay? So, the story I want to share briefly here. There was a young man, it was a co-worker that I worked with, and I had a boss that, this young man, he was around my age, just a little older, but he started out, I worked for a fabrication company. We made different mechanical products there, and so this other man, young man, he was promoted through the shop, different positions, and then he became a machinist, and then he was promoted into the office and became a CAD operator like I was, and then he was promoted a couple other times. And what's interesting is he received all these promotions in like almost a year's span of time, like 4 or 5 promotions. And I'd only gotten one, you know, working there a couple of years. And but the boss, I noticed that they were really, they had a click going. And it was like this other, my coworker, it's like he was doing all kinds of things to impress my boss. He wanted this certain position so bad. And he eventually got it. And then, but that wasn't enough. He wanted my position. So guess what? We switched roles because he wanted my, and we'll just say it this way. The product line that I was working on was a little more, it was The owners of the company put more emphasis on it, and so it was maybe a little more prestige with it. Well, he wanted that position. So guess what? Ultimately, he got that position. And so it was all these things were going through my mind. I'm like, wow, he's like forcing his way up the ranks here, and you got to give it to him. He had a zeal and a desire. He wanted to make more money. He wanted to provide for his family, and nothing wrong with that. But he wanted to look good, okay? So the end result is, and this is what I'm going to conclude with in this story. The interesting thing is my boss was helping him through that whole process. But it was all very short-lived because about a year later, they both were gone. And I was left with a lot of extra work to do. And they had to hire another engineer in. And so it's like, wow. But it was all for a show and just to get a certain title and position, to get a business card with your name and title, and they keep changing that title every 4 or 5 months, it seemed like, oh, well, now I'm this, and now I'm this. And then he left, and he became a chicken farmer. And there's nothing wrong with being a chicken farmer. I've worked in chicken houses, and I appreciate the hard work that goes into that. But it's like he gained all of that just gained the fame and recognition. Short term, he got to go on all these meetings. He got to fly to different offices and plants and give his speech and his spiel and presentations and all that. And then he's gone. It's done. But, you know, I'm thankful that God has something for us that's long term. It's not just flashy. It's not just to make a show. It's not self-promoting ourselves. Folks, this is about the Lord, all right? That was just a job, a literal job, all right? But when we talk about our souls, and we talk about living for the Lord, there's something about God wants us to focus on Him. Not focus on everyone else or focus on ourselves, but the Lord wants us to focus on Him, okay? So, just laying a little foundation with that story there. So, y'all pray for us. I want to get into some scriptures here. So, I want to talk about a group of people in the scriptures. And you know the names well. The Pharisees in the New Testament. I want to explain who they were. We all understand, but just to remind us who they were. They were very polished religious leaders with great power and authority to basically do as they pleased. They had a lot of wealth, and they looked holy. They looked the part, all these things. And they were very elite mindsets. And again, a lot of self-promotion. But the end result was, folks, it was so shallow. So shallow. Just like the ones that I worked with there. It just seemed so shallow. They worked for what? They did all that for what? Were they really trying to help the company? It didn't appear that way. They were trying to help themselves. You understand what I'm saying? And that's what happened with the Pharisees. Were they really trying to help the work of God? No, the proof was they were trying to help themselves, okay? But I want us to be reminded of something. The devil wants us to focus on things that are shallow. Yes, they may be flashy, and oh, we'll get some attention, and we'll whatever the case is. But folks, I want to tell us something. The devil wants to push and force and drive you to do those things, okay? He's just like, he treats us like goats. You have to crack the whip and push him and prod him to get him to do anything. But the Lord treats us like sheep, folks. He leads us gently. He draws us. He calls us, all right? No one's back there cracking the whip saying, you got to do this, you better do this. And if it's not someone else, the devil want us to do it to ourselves. Oh, I got to do this, and I got to be this, and I got to perform here, and I got to look this way, and do this, and say this, and just do the right thing, and because I want to gain approval and acceptance of so-and-so. Lord, help us that we gain the acceptance and approval of God, all right? Because think about this. God doesn't look at us. He doesn't have a reward or grading system based solely upon our accomplishments, and that we've finished our to-do list, and we've checked all the boxes, and we look the part, and we act the part, and we talk the part. That's not what God is interested in. He's interested in our hearts, folks. What is our motive? What is our desire? What is our true love and passion? I want to refer back to the folks that I worked with there back on that job. Their love and their passion was to look good. Yeah, to get a bigger paycheck, sure, that's fine. But to get a title, to flash that business card around, to go to these meetings, to go to these conferences, to fly around the planes and do all these things and look the part, and then it was gone just like that. Lord help us. So, I want to talk about the Pharisees a little bit more. I want to turn to Matthew, the 12th chapter. And this is referred to earlier on in the meeting. But this is the Pharisees challenging Jesus and his disciples over the Sabbath. So I want to read a few scriptures here. Matthew, the 12th chapter. We'll start with verse 1. At that time, Jesus went on the Sabbath day through the corn, and his disciples were and hungered and began to pluck the ears of corn and to eat. But the Pharisees saw it, and they said unto him, "Behold, thy disciples do that which is not lawful to do upon the Sabbath day." But he said unto them, "Have ye not read what David did when he was an hungered, and they that were with him, how he entered into the house of God, and did eat the shoe bread which was not lawful for him to eat, neither for them which were with him, but only for the priest? Or have you not read in the law how that on the Sabbath days the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? But I say unto you that in this place is one greater than the temple. But if ye had known what this meaneth, 'I will have mercy and not sacrifice,' ye would not have condemned the guiltless." Notice this 8th verse, folks. Jesus is like, had a little mic drop moment here. He said, "For the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath day." Thank the Lord. What that means is there's something about the Pharisees. They were blind to what God was trying to fulfill through the Sabbath day. It was the training ground. It was teaching some principles and some laws that we need to consider God, take time to focus on the Lord. But what the Pharisees were doing is they were straining at a gnat, so to speak. They were more concerned about, well, it doesn't look good, so you can't do that. And Jesus is saying, no, what's in your heart? What is your motive? If you truly see someone in need, are you not going to stop and help them, even though it's on the Sabbath day? And how many examples of that were in the scriptures? Well, we're going to read something that happened right after this. So let's go on. Verse 9. "And when he was departed thence, he went into their synagogue, and behold, there was a man which had his hand withered. And they asked him, saying, 'Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath days?' That they might accuse him. And he said unto them, 'What man shall there be among you that shall have one sheep, and if it fall into a pit on the Sabbath day, will he not lay hold on it and lift it out? How much then is a man better than a sheep? Wherefore, is it lawful to do well on the Sabbath days?' Then saith he to the man, 'Stretch forth thine hand.' And he stretched it forth, and it was restored whole like as the other." Thank the Lord. Jesus taught by principle and by action that this is the most important thing. When you see a need, you respond to that. You reach out to that. Don't just hold yourself in a position of, well, I got to look the part and do what everyone else wants me to do. But what does the Lord prompt you to do? What does the Lord, does he prick your heart to have mercy and to help someone in time of need? That's exactly what Jesus did here. He healed this man with the lame, withered hand. And then it goes on, verses 14 and 15. "Then the Pharisees went out and held a council against him, how they might destroy him. But when Jesus knew it, he withdrew himself from thence, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all." Notice what Jesus did here. He didn't allow the Pharisees, the accusations, the fact that they held counsel against him, how they might destroy him. That didn't deter Jesus from the real need of the hour. He saw some folks that needed healing. He saw some folks that needed his help. And he ministered to them. He reached out to them. He's like, "I don't care about all of your things that you have set up as idols, basically, in your lives." He's like, "There's something more serious here. These folks need a healer, all right? These folks need a savior." So what we have here is a clashing of two different perspectives, the Pharisees versus Jesus. And I want to say this. We're going to lead up to my main thought here this morning. The Pharisees notice what they were doing. They were working for rest, but Jesus was working from rest, okay? Now, I want to explain that here in a little bit, and I'm going to draw a little diagram on the board and the title on the board. And as I do that, if I could have us sing some verses of number 67 called Sweet Rest in Jesus.
In Jesus I found a sweet rest from sorrow and toil and care. In Him I have been blessed, for He hath heard the prayer. Oh, happy life, happy life, my Savior is the Savior of my life. I've seen
sweet rest on Jesus, dear rest. I came to the Lord for release when burdened with guilt and with sin. He cleansed me and gave me His peace, the Spirit to witness within. Oh, how happy am I with my Savior so nigh. I have found sweet rest on Jesus' deep rest. Though many the troubles I meet, He'll keep me and help me along. I'll sit at His board if I feed, for He is my joy and my song. Oh, how happy am I with my Savior so nigh. I have found sweet rest on Jesus' deep rest. All glory and praise to Thy name, for what Thou didst suffer for me, for saving my soul when I came and gave myself up unto Thee. Oh, how happy am I with my Savior so nigh. I have found sweet rest on Jesus' deep rest.
That's good. Thank you. All right, so I have drawn on the board here, and I'll try to explain it for maybe those who can't see it as well. So I have drawn on the board two little sections, basically a week calendar. And the title of my message this morning is Working from Rest. Okay? So the first week, numbered 1 through 7, Sunday through Saturday, it's the Old Testament work week. So this one is working for rest. So you remember when God, in the creation, He worked the 6 days and He rested the seventh, all right? And that was the Sabbath. So this is what they practiced all throughout the Old Testament, okay? And there was a plan in that. God had a purpose for that. Again, it was a schoolmaster. It was training folks for something that they needed to take time and rest and focus on the Lord and go, and at times go to the tabernacle or the temple or so on and so forth. Well, then the New Testament work week was working from rest, okay? And so Jesus came and kind of turned everything upside down, according to the Pharisees, where He emphasized working from rest and starting here, the new Sabbath, okay? And we'll explain more of that here in a moment. But I want us to think about something here. So, again, when God, when He created the earth, He established, but you could say it this way, He earned rest, all right, by working 6 days, and He rested on the seventh, okay? The New Testament, basically, what Jesus was doing was saying, Let's start with day one, all right? And let's get things right to begin with. And let's start with rest in our souls to begin with at the beginning of the week, and then we can work from that, all right? And notice, don't you think it's interesting that the resurrection was on a Sunday? In fact, there is, when you think about when Jesus said, I am Lord of the Sabbath, the scripture we read earlier, folks, he reigns over the Sabbath, okay? But you could just say it this way, whatever day you pick, he reigns over that day, okay? But I believe the fulfillment of the scriptures and how God would have it, and God's a very meticulous God. He plans things out years and centuries in advance. And I believe there was great emphasis when Jesus was resurrected on Sunday morning, okay? And I believe part of that was to draw a contrast of the two conflicting views of where Jesus just dealt with the Pharisees. They were so rigid. They were so fixed upon these practices, these rituals, and to make the cup look clean on the outside, but within it was filthy. And Jesus knew that. And he called them out how many times saying, ye hypocrites, you look good on the outside, but within you're ravenous wolves. You're filthy. You're full of indignation. All these things. It's like you don't understand what you are and what you're doing. You're focusing. You're wanting to look good, to look the part. And for why? For what reason? Self-promotion. Oh, Lord, help us. So, Jesus being Lord of the Sabbath. You know, it's now through him. When the laws and the prophecies were fulfilled, when Jesus came and everything started coming true, coming to fruition, and all the prophecies being fulfilled, that it's now through Jesus that we have access on a daily routine, an intimate relationship with God, like Brother Don preached last Friday night. That was the whole purpose. You remember when Adam and Eve were in the garden before they sinned? God walked and talked with them. There was intimate connection there. But when sin was committed, they lost that. All right, they lost that innocence. They lost that privilege, so to speak. But folks, Jesus came back to restore that relationship that we can have 100% access and intimate relationship with God, not just on the old Sabbath day down here. You work all week and you finally get to rest, and just one day a week, I get to be at rest. Oh no, folks. When Jesus said, I'm Lord of the Sabbath, he's saying, first of all, it starts with me. You come to me, I'll give you rest the first day of the week. Then every day after that, thank the Lord, we can have rest. And that's working from rest. It starts with Jesus, folks. It doesn't start with how do I feel, how do I look, what does everyone else think about me, but what does Jesus think about us, okay? Lord, help us. So speaking of that scripture I just referred to, you know, the chapter and the verses just prior to chapter 12, what are the verses at the end of Matthew 11? Let's turn to read that. We'll just back up briefly. What did Jesus say? Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will do what? I will give you rest. Just like what Sister Gertrude was referring to earlier. And first of all, yes, it starts with the spiritual rest. That's the most important thing. But folks, when we start there, it's like anything else that we encounter throughout the week, whether it's the physical rest we need, whether it's the emotional rest, the mental rest, whatever it is, God has that rest for us as well. But it has to start with Jesus, okay? So let me finish reading this. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. Doesn't that sound like a wonderful shepherd that's going to lead his sheep gently? Not force them, not crack the whip on them. Well, you should be doing this and you should be doing that, and shame on you if you didn't do this, and shame on you if you didn't do that. That's not how our gentle shepherd operates, folks. He works from rest. In other words, you come to him. All right? The one that resurrected on Resurrection Sunday, the one that came to set us free, to give us freedom, to give us rest, to give us peace. And he'll give that to us, folks. So, thinking of the promises, well, let me finish this. Sorry, I'm getting ahead of myself. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. We can find that rest here this morning. Do you believe that? Do you really believe it? Because I want to turn to read some scriptures about that. If we really desire that rest that Jesus has to offer, how do we go about getting that? Do we just say the words, "Oh, I believe"? Do you realize belief is action? If you really believe something, you know what you're going to do? You're going to act upon that belief. Okay? So, and no matter what the circumstances or difficulties may be, you're going to act upon that belief. Okay? So, our job and our duty, our work, if you want to say it this way, is to first believe that truly Jesus is Lord of the Sabbath. That's where it starts. And I believe we understand that. I'm confident we do believe that. But, you know, the scripture says without faith it is impossible to please him. That if you're having trouble believing that fact, that Jesus is Lord of the Sabbath, Lord of every day of our lives, then, and you're lacking faith, you know, remember the scripture says, Lord, help our unbelief. Because there's times where we do need encouragement. We need something. Sometimes we can be like Gideon and say, Lord, I don't think I can do this. Will you give me a sign, something? I'm not saying to live your life totally that way, but there are times when we reach out to Jesus saying, Jesus, I'm not finding rest in this situation. I'm not finding the confidence that I need. I don't know what to do. Will you do something? And I'm confident Jesus, as a wonderful, gentle shepherd, will show you something, whether it's a scripture or a song, or he'll impress someone to send you a text or to call you, or he'll allow a little beautiful red cardinal to land on a branch right outside your window to inspire you and encourage you, that if he's watching over the cardinals and the sparrows, he's also watching over you. Anything to inspire your faith, our gentle shepherd will do that. Thank the Lord. But I want us to consider something here this morning. In Hebrews, the 4th chapter, talking about belief. In Hebrews 4, we'll read a few verses here. We'll start with verse 1. It said, let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest. Thank the Lord. And you know, what this is actually referring to, if you read the chapter before this, chapter 3, it's actually talking about the failure of the majority of the children of Israel that did not make it into the land of Canaan because of why? Because of unbelief. Joshua and Caleb and the younger generations are the only ones that made it over into the land of Canaan. After the 40 years wandering around in the wilderness, that was not God's plan for them to doubt and to miss out on his rest in the land of Canaan. Because what was in the land of Canaan? Yes, there were walled cities, but folks, there were already vineyards. There were crops. It was a land flowing with milk and honey and plenty where they could truly rest. Because how were they treated before that? They were treated as slaves in Egypt. And the Lord's saying, I have something much better for you where you can rest and you can multiply and I can bless you. And I'll visit you. But oh, these folks missed out on it because of why? Unbelief. They didn't believe when the spies came back. Joshua and Caleb said, we're well able. But the others were looking at the giants instead of the Lord. They just so quickly forgotten how God had delivered them from Egypt. Oh Lord, help us that we not forget the things that God has done for us. That our faith would be inspired this morning. And that we would be reminded that God is well able to care for me. God is well able to provide for me. To protect me. To guide and direct me. to give me the rest and the peace that I need in my soul, all right? So that's where it starts, is belief. So I want to take it to another level here. Let's put this on a personal level. You know, when children, I remember when I was younger, when I was getting ready for school, you know, it made a big difference when I was able to have a little breakfast and get a little hug from my mom before I left and went out the door to get on the bus and to, you know, have my clothes, you know, maybe I didn't have them picked out, but at least had clothes to wear. But there was something about, and the peace that we had in our home, that we were a unit, all right? We were a close family. And folks, that is so valuable. I knew I was loved, all right? So let's think about this. Just children in general. You know, studies have been conducted, which it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure this out and to know it. We know this. But there have been studies made that they realize that children, when going to school, they perform much better when they're at rest within their little bodies, okay? And we're talking on an emotional level. We're talking on a physical level. We're talking on a relationship level where they know they're loved in their home. They have some good nutrition. They have some good food to eat. They have clothes on their back, and they're able to have some supplies, and they get the encouragement and the emotional nurturing and all those things. That children perform much better at school. But those that are teachers here this morning, and have been teachers, you know, you can pick out the ones that they're not at rest at home. They're treated so despicable. They're treated as just another person, not their actual child. And they're not respected, and they're not cared for, they're not nurtured, and they're not at rest at home. They don't feel the love, they don't feel the connection there. And then they come to school and it's like they can't perform. You understand the point there? That it starts at home for the little children. That they be at rest in their little spirits at home, that would enable them to perform as they are supposed to perform. You know, it's no different for you and I either as adults. You realize the Lord wants us to connect with Him every morning as well, of every day. And folks, it's not just here on Sunday. Oh, I'm going to go to church on Sunday and I'm going to connect with God and we're going to meet and we're going to... That's great, folks. That is so absolutely critical for our spiritual growth in the Lord. But folks, I want to tell you something. God doesn't want it to stop after Sunday night. Yes, that may be the first day of the week, all right? But the Lord wants us to take Him with us the rest of the week. Day 2, day 3, day 4, day 5, day 6, and day 7. But it starts with every morning. Or we'll just put it this way. Even early in our lives, someone mentioned this the other day, that learn to give your heart to the Lord at a young age. Start early, all right? Work from rest early in your life. And then again, we'll put it on a daily basis. Work from rest early in the morning or whatever your schedule. It doesn't have to be an exact time, okay? I'm not trying to put us in a box here. The emphasis is daily. Whatever your schedule is, before you go out and face a hostile world, all right? A world that wants to, through Satan, wants to kill, steal, and destroy you. You better have something on hand. You better be at rest in your spirit. You better have a connection with God that I know God loves me. And I know He cares for me. I know He can enable me. I know He can give me words to say. He can give me wisdom how to interact with those on the job or those at school or those in town or traveling and visiting someone else. I know God is with me because I've connected with Him first. I have a personal relationship with the Lord. Oh, Lord, help us to start with that. And then we can carry on and function and do the things that God wants us to do. Okay? And I want to remind us of something else. And this is just a little side note. We talked about the resurrection being on a Sunday. You know, there's also some that believe that the day of Pentecost was on a Sunday as well. Pente meaning 50 days after the Passover. The Passover started on a Friday evening, went into Saturday. But to think about this, regardless of that, but there was just something special about the day of Pentecost. That God enabled and He infilled the disciples and those that are in one accord in the there in that room, that God did something special for them, all right? He met with them. He condescended to them. They were all in one accord. They were in unity. They were seeking the Lord. They weren't seeking for self-promotion here, folks. They weren't seeking for a position or a title. Someone mentioned that the other day. That they were seeking, Lord, what would you have me to do? Okay? What would you have me to say? And do you remember what happened on the day of Pentecost? Good old Peter. Remember what he was doing prior to the day of Pentecost. Remember what he did the night of the crucifixion. He denied Christ. But oh, what did he and some of the others do on the day of Pentecost? Got up and preached the word of God with power and authority. And 3,000 souls were saved. Folks, that is the kind of results God is looking for. He's not looking for your list of accomplishments and your resume and your portfolio and what you have on a business card. He's not so much concerned about that. But what are you doing for the Lord, all right? What are you focusing on? What is your motives and what is your passion for the Lord? That's what he's focused on. Remember Jesus when he healed the man with the withered hand. He looked past all the other things and he saw a need. You realize, folks, God wants us to be the same way. That we look past the things that we see in other individuals where, well, they look so-and-so, and I've heard this about them, and this, and this, and this. No, folks. The Lord wants us to go deeper than that. All right? We may not be able to see their hearts. Well, we don't. Only God knows their hearts. We're just a vessel in His hand. But, folks, we can't do anything effective if we haven't met the Savior first. Because that is working from rest. When you have everything in order in your heart and your soul and in your mind, then you can go out and function clearly, all right? And to do the things God is, because there's no interruptions, there's no distractions. You're at peace with the Lord. You're at rest with the Lord. You're clear before the Lord. And you can go out with boldness and preach. Yes, I said preach the gospel with your life. Thank the Lord. It's not so much standing behind a podium here and preaching the literal word of God like this, but it's preaching the gospel not just on Sundays when it looks good and I'm impressing everyone else and I'm impressing myself, but oh no, it's every day of the week because Jesus is Lord of the Sabbath. That means He's Lord of your life. He's Lord of my life. And every day I'm going to worship the Lord. Every day I'm going to seek to please Him, not seek to please so-and-so and not seek to please myself, but to please the good Lord. Lord, help us. So, thinking of starting the first day of the week, I think that was a very good distinction, I think, that helped differentiate. And we're not going to try to get into all the details here this morning, but I want to say this. Folks, there were results that happened on the day of Pentecost. And it didn't stop at the day of Pentecost. There continued to be results from folks that met with the Lord on a daily basis. They connected with God. They were in an intimate relationship with Him. And the works followed. Okay, you understand what I'm saying? They went out, not just there in Jerusalem, but they went out to all the world and they preached the gospel to a lost and dying world that were not at rest. And they're saying, can you imagine Peter saying, oh, let me explain to you how miserable I was before the day of Pentecost. I denied my Lord. But after that, He enabled me to get beyond myself, to look beyond even my failures and my weaknesses, to look beyond that, and to get beyond what other people are thinking about me or things they're saying about me. Get beyond all of that. He was focused on Jesus, the Lord of the Sabbath. The one that can fulfill the wonderful promises, not just through the scriptures and through the case of time, but also in our individual lives, that God wants to fulfill some things in our personal lives. Thank the Lord. Things that we've been burdened for, things we've been praying about, that God wants to bring those to fruition as well. Thank the Lord. But it starts with Jesus. So, how do we make this happen again on a daily application here. So, first of all, we mentioned earlier that the first thing, obvious thing, is to believe, okay? But I want to say this too. I want to continue on in the fourth chapter of Hebrews. Before I read that, I want to say this. Some more practical things. About how we can enter into this rest. You realize it does take some effort. Do you know it takes you being intentional to plan for time to spend with the Lord? There's only 24 hours in a day. And sometimes you have to get creative. Let's just be honest with ourselves. No matter where you find yourself in life, you have to put forth, be intentional, saying, Lord, you mean this much to me. I'm willing, if I got to sacrifice something, whether it's get up early in the morning or stay up late at night or take a break somewhere during the middle of the day and like shut everything off, so to speak. And it can be even as creative as driving down the road. Or as a brother was saying the other day, riding your bicycle. Whatever the case is, where you need to spend time, you and I both need to spend time connecting with the Lord, all right? Spending time with Him. And that could, again, mean it's beyond praying. It's exercising your faith, such as testifying, even leading out in prayer in a worship service. All kinds of things that we can exercise ourselves, all right? That's practicing our belief is what that is, all right? But folks, again, we have to work from rest. We have to connect with God first. That way He can enable us to do what He's asking us to do. And then here's another thing. As I mentioned earlier, another thing that can hinder us from having that rest is we can be so heavy laden with things. Let me just give you an example. And I'll just throw this out as this is a personal thing that I've had to deal with. Everyone has their own things. But you know, there's times after a while I have to stop following the news. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to be oblivious to everything that's going on around me because you know what? I have a wife. I have two children. I have a job. I have a home that I own. I have to interact with people on a daily basis. I want to know what's going on in our world. But there comes a point where I start getting restless. I start getting concerned and I start getting heavy laden with these things, like, oh, and worrying and fretting about things of the future. Well, how is this going to turn out? How is that going to turn out, folks? That's not working from rest. That's me working for rest, trying to get everything figured out. Then I can sit back and relax. No, that's not how it works efficiently. We have to start with the Lord first and come to Him and cast our cares and our burdens upon the Lord, saying, Lord, you see all these things that I just heard or I just read, and I'm really concerned about these things, and I'm going to pray about them. But when I'm done praying, I'm leaving them with you, okay? Folks, when we can do that, and we relay those burdens upon the Lord, then doesn't that make yourself lighter? Yes, it does. And more free? You're not cumbered about with all these things. You've laid them at the feet of Jesus. Say, Lord, I know you can do something. I don't know what to do. But Lord, I know you do. Then here comes that rest. Oh, thank the Lord. Then we can go out and face the hostile world. Amen. So another thing. I want to continue reading here in Hebrews, the fourth chapter. We'll start with verse 14, the last three verses. It says, seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. That means hold tightly to our belief. Okay? And if we're holding tightly to our belief, we're not allowing the things that we're seeing or observing to affect us, to get us off track, okay? That we are actively following and seeking the Lord, okay? We realize that He is the one that can help in time of need. So again, it says, hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You realize, folks, our privilege is every day. Not just one day a year as the high priest with the temple They could go into the holiest of holies. Oh, but folks, when Jesus was crucified on the cross, what happened to that thick, tall veil that no man could tear it like the Lord tore it? The veil was rent there in the holiest of holies. And what was that a symbol of? A symbol of giving us opportunity to be available to touch the throne of God. Let us come boldly to the throne of God, to the presence of the Lord, not just once a year, not just once a week, folks, but every day of the week. Thank the Lord. And not just every day, folks, any minute, any second of every day. That we can come boldly. And if we're coming boldly, you know what that means? You believe God can make a difference. Oh, Lord, help us not just to come kind of if you got to crawl, that's fine. But I'm saying we can have boldness and confidence because we've experienced something time and time again. Every time I come to Jesus, every time I come to the Lord for rest, He gives it to me. Start with day one, then day two, all the week long. That's the power through the Holy Spirit that was sent on the day of Pentecost. It started with the veil being rent in the temple. But Lord, that was just the beginning of it, folks. God's saying, oh, folks, you haven't seen anything yet. And then Jesus was resurrected. And then 50 days after the Passover, then there was the day of Pentecost. And the Lord's saying, you haven't seen anything yet. And then look at us here today. You know what we're here for? We're here because of folks throughout the centuries, throughout the ages, they've carried on a practice and a belief. They've held, what does Scripture say here again? Let us hold fast our profession. They held on to that belief through the thick and the thin, through opposition, through failures. Failures of others, failures of themselves. They kept going back to the cross. They kept going back to Jesus, back to the Lord of the Sabbath, say, Lord, I know you can make a difference. And then Jesus started making a difference in their lives. Then they had something to pass on to something else, someone else. And that's why we're here today. It started at the cross. It started at the day of Pentecost, and it's continued to grow from there. And here we are today, still enjoying that rest that Jesus paved the way for. Thank the Lord. Well, so I have some questions as we conclude here this morning. Where does this find you today? Are you weary? Are you worn out from trying so hard, just trying to make this happen and make that happen, and trying to get approval here and to look good there, and or maybe it's pushing through, like I mentioned earlier, some failures of others or some failures of yourself, and that's all you can focus on. Folks, the Scripture says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Looking unto, to the one that can fulfill God's promises in our lives. Just as He did at what He told, what He told the Pharisees there. He said, I am Lord of the Sabbath. Unashamedly. Just told them outright. They didn't understand what He was saying, but He understood. But where does this find us this morning? Are you weary of being a slave to whatever? Maybe a belief system that believes that you believe that you're not enough? You realize there's people that walk around that aren't enjoying the fullness of salvation because they don't believe they can ever be good enough. Folks, we're not good enough within ourselves. That's why Jesus died on the cross. He paid the price. He paved the way for you and I, okay? Or are you heavy laden with some burdens, some things that have weighed you down, and you're not at rest in your spirit? You're just in turmoil, or maybe you're in confusion, or whatever the case is. Folks, I'm here to remind us again, Jesus wants to give you rest. Ye that are heavy laden, I want to give you rest, okay? That was Jesus' words. So I want to recommend again, Jesus is the answer. I want to recommend to you the Lord of the Sabbath. The one that's able to make a difference in your personal everyday life. Thank the Lord. The one that sees and knows and understands you about all of your insecurities, all of your misunderstandings, maybe all of your failures or your shortcomings or whatever it is. and you just feel kind of miserable sometimes. You just feel kind of helpless, and you feel kind of lost, and you feel like no one really sees me, no one really understands me. Oh, what did Jesus? He healed the man with the withered hand. Folks, there may be some areas in your life that you feel like are just withered up. You feel like it's just dead now. There's no hope. There's nothing else left there. Oh, what did Jesus do? He stretched forth thine hand, and it was healed and made whole. Folks, God wants to do that with us here today. If you find yourself in any of these conditions, maybe there's something else I've not mentioned, I want to recommend to you again, Jesus, the Lord of the Sabbath, that He can enable you where you can work from rest. Start with Him, and He can make everything else in your life right. You pray for me, I'll be faithful to Him. Amen.